He hates the Chiefs.
The first time ever, Mahomes goes 9-8.
He's delusional about his Bengals.
Joe Burrow's going to get the job done again because he's going to be healthy. And they're going to win, and they're going to go to New Orleans and be in the Super Bowl.
But he knows everything about college football. Here's the host of the 249 Miles of College Football podcast, Drew Nixon.
That's right, Drew Nixon.
Of course, you hear him every day with the Coding Gold producer of that show, the executive producer. What's up, Drew?
What's up, Bank? How's it going?
Good. You don't sound good. You upset that the Bengals may not have what it takes today?
Oh, I was sick yesterday. I don't know what happened, but I was having body aches, and I was not feeling very, very good. But feel much better today.
You mean the college football didn't spike you up, man? It didn't get you excited? Didn't pump you up? Because you're one of the guys that I, have fun texting with during college football season.
Oh, it was really good yesterday. I was laying down in bed all day, basically, yesterday. So, but I did enjoy all the games, Friday night especially, with all the locals, essentially outside of Missouri playing. It was an interesting Saturday. A lot of the better games you and I were texting, Bank, in the morning. And early on.
Which is really weird. Like the 11 a.m. slate, usually if you played a bunch of 11 a.m. games, it means you kind of sucked, right? You always would put on there. But the way that they did all this pre-scheduling and times and stuff like that, I mean, I always like when the better games are at night. I hate the fact that I need four TVs during the 11 o'clock hour, which is what we had yesterday with the great games at 11 a.m.
Yeah, there were some really good ones. I think I'm with you. I like it when there's, instead of all of them being good at 11, I guess, you get in them sprinkled in throughout the day. Like, there's a couple good ones in the 11 a.m., like with the big noon kickoff or whatever. You get the 2:30 slate, then you get the 6 o'clock slate, 6:30 slate. We didn't really get that, but there's a week throughout the college football season that we have some iffy games that are throughout the week and in the schedule. I mean, the two of the best games, actually, in terms of watching, were on Friday, actually.
Yeah, well, let's start with Friday night, and let's start with Kansas State because they got the W in that game. Kansas State has been fantastic on defense in the second half of games, and Arizona provided a good challenge to them. I mean, Arizona, I knew Ted Aroa McMillan was going to get his, and he did. And Noah Fafita, going back to Servite High School in California, then one of the best leagues in high school football. They played together. They've got that down. But, man, Kansas State in the second half of games, and especially the secondary that looks so bad against Menza, redshirt freshman at Tulane, look completely different against Arizona. That was a damn impressive win for Kansas State, and that including some bad clock management issues at the end of the half.
Yeah, they had a little bit of issue going into halftime, but still, as you said, they just dominated. And McMillan, he had 11 catches for 138 yards, but it was a quiet 138 yards. They didn't get gashed for anything. It wasn't like there was a huge play that stood. I mean, I think the guy, you and I are texting, Bank, the guy could be top 10 overall in the next draft coming up in 2025. So for them to allow 138 yards, that's expected maybe for a guy that's going to bag that many yards and go that high in the draft. Otherwise, I mean, Noah Fafita, they put some pressure on him. They limited the run game out, and they just got in control of the game, Dink. I mean, Avery Johnson, I think some of the talk before was they need to unleash Avery Johnson. I don't think this game was any different, really, than the Tulane game, but you saw his running ability, Avery Johnson's running ability, flash a little bit more than we have previously, and him being able to be trusted within the offense, and Connor Riley and Matt Wells just letting him do his thing, and it was efficient. It was good. And big plays made again by the K-State defense. This is one of those wins, Bink, I think we come back to by them getting tested against Tulane and then having this game in the non-conference schedule. This can really put K-State forward in regards to confidence, in regards to respect, I think, across the country, in regards to, hey, this team is legit. And maybe even if they don't win the Big 12, they could maybe sneak their way in to the college football playoff. But right now, I would say K-State should be the favorite to win the Big 12.
Arizona or Utah, without Cam Rising, they struggled early on against Utah State and ended up putting them away. So that was good. But how about Kansas State? They've allowed a touchdown in the fourth quarter the last 2 weeks. They've allowed 10 second-half points all year. And Avery Johnson, I felt, played a lot more confident this week. This running game at Kansas State, if they build a lead, they can suffocate you. If they build a lead, they can 100%. Suffocate you with the running game. And that was the key. Just go out and get a big lead early for Kansas State, then suffocate them with a dominant running game.
Yeah, DJ Giddens, again, had a good day. I thought Dylan Edwards might get a couple more touches. He had the big punt return. So whenever he – I'm really interested to see if they continue – right now they're playing so well, I don't know if they need to change anything. But going down as we get into Big 12 play, DJ Giddens, not that he's going to wear down, but he's getting enough carries where maybe you need to take some of the load off. Dylan Edwards, through three games, anytime he touches the ball, seems to be an electric play. Punt return, long touchdown run, long run in general – I mean, six carries for 41 yards for Dylan plus the punt return.
Yeah,
when he's used, he is always making a big-time play for this offense.
Yeah, and how about K-State? 62 kicker punt returns since 2005, the most in college football. Impressive. Kansas, not impressive at all. And for two straight weeks, started off good. I'm like, okay, they're moving the ball. They're going to be fine. I mean, Devin Neal, I think, is a top 10. I think he's a top 7 running back. Heading towards the draft next year. Jalen Daniels just does not look the same. And you and I talked about Drew. I mean, he's got 6 picks already this season. And that's the part that's killing Kansas is the turnovers. But this whole season was going to bank on him being better. And losing your offensive coordinator to Penn State, Kolnicki, that was with Lance Leipold at Wisconsin-Whitewater, at Buffalo, at Kansas, this has hurt the team because there were some bad coaching decisions in this game, and I'm shocked to say that, but there was.
It's very odd for a Lance Leipold team to have mistakes like this. But I mean, you mentioned Jalen Daniels, 3 touchdowns to 6 picks this season. That's the ratio. The absence of Andy Koltunecki, I think, as you mentioned, Bink, is more evident than I think maybe we originally thought it was going to be. Going into the season, because we thought we knew Jalen Daniels is a good enough player going into the season where maybe his talent can make up for the loss, if you will. Jeff Grimes is a fine coordinator. He's all right, but I don't know if whatever he wants Jalen to do, I don't know if there's a full trust there. I mean, Bink, there was a minute 30 left to go in the game, a minute 20 left in the game, and they're running the football with Devin Neal. And I understand that Devin Neal is as of right now, your best player, but you have to throw the football, and he's running the ball with a minute 20 left to go in the game, and they're in minus territory, and I'm sitting watching the game like, what the heck is going on here? I know that to me, it was evident that he doesn't trust Jalen Daniels to make those throws, and maybe it's because of the interceptions. I don't know. But it doesn't seem like there's the full trust from Jeff Grimes in Jalen Daniels to do what they need to do to win games, and I wouldn't be surprised if the turnovers continue for Kansas and for Jalen Daniels, if at some point Lance Leipold's like, look, we need to try to salvage something out of this season, or I need to see what I've got in my crew, because they've got West Virginia on the road, that's a tough game next week. TCU's looked really good. Those are the next two games. Who's to say anything's going to change? But two tough losses, and Kansas is the one to blame for all of them. It's not like they've gotten beat. Bing, they've just beat themselves.
Yeah, no question. And UNLV's a good football team. I mean, it is. I mean, it is a team that Kansas did beat in a bowl game last year. Barry Odom's there. Of course, Kansas fans know Barry Odom from his days at Mizzou. He was the Mountain West Coach of the Year. I mean, that was a good UNLV team that they played. Missouri Tigers, hadn't allowed a point it going into the Boston College game. Blake Baker has now left Missouri. Of course, he left to be the defensive coordinator of LSU. Boston College and Thomas Castellanos, their quarterback, very good. Missouri, 9 straight sellouts. They haven't done that since 1979, believe it or not. They've now won 19 straight games against non-conference opponents in Columbia. Luther Burden, 113 yards, did his deal. But yeah, Missouri started slow, but man, that second half, they dominated that game. I know that Boston College made a little bit interesting with 6 points there at the end, but Missouri got a good win because this Boston College team is a good football team and one that beat them a couple years ago in Massachusetts.
Yeah, BC is very well coached. I think one of the things going into the game with Thomas Castellanos is he hadn't made any mistakes. I don't even know if he threw an interception, but going into this game, he did not. I mean, he had 6 touchdowns to no interceptions.
He's great on the ground.
Yeah, he was one of the only quarterbacks in the country, Banks, to enter with no picks. He was like one of seven, I think, QBs to enter week three with no picks, and then Missouri was able to force him into some bad throws, some pressure. I know there was the one play where he fumbled the ball, basically. The defense got burned because they all rushed up. He just tossed the ball deep, and they scored two kind of weird plays, how they scored touchdowns. But as you mentioned, they bared down, finished the first half well, were well in control in the second half. I think, and we know how good Luther Burden is. They got him the ball. He made plays. Nate Noel might be a star in this offense. I know Marcus Carroll is more of the bell cow guy, but Nate Noel got the start yesterday. He had 22 carries, 120 yards, Bink.
Yeah, the transfer from App State.
But Nate Noel, I think, is a budding star in this offense. Brady Cook doesn't even have to be Caleb Williams. He doesn't have to be one of the top quarterbacks in the country for them to win games. And it's, you know, in part to their wide receiver unit and the fact that they've got really good running backs again. And the offense was tested, but they came through, and it's a really good win for the Missouri Tigers.
Talking to Drew Nixon, of course, the producer for Cody and Gold, and he also does a podcast each week. You can check it out on the 435 Podcast Network at 96.5thefan.com. 249 miles of football as Drew breaks down games collegiately. I want to ask you about three games nationally that I thought were interesting. The Georgia-Kentucky game actually ended up pretty damn good. However, it is Georgia's. They were on the road at Kentucky. Kentucky is a team that was hammered by South Carolina. And, of course, we saw them lose to LSU yesterday and blow a 17-0 lead. Georgia wins for the 15th straight time over Kentucky. I don't care that the game is close because great teams find a way to win. It's like the Chiefs. They play close games. They still found a way to win. It was on the road, tough environment. I'm not looking at Georgia any less because of this game, one-point win.
Yeah, that was one of the things that Kirby Smart said previously, or after the game, is previously they've had games where they've been tested. And every team, I think, seems to have gone through that. Like Georgia was even tested against Missouri here recently, and they found a way to, you know, to get it done. I think that, to your point of good teams get it done no matter what, not to say that Kroger Field isn't a great environment or is a great environment or others aren't better than that, but, I mean, it is an SEC environment, and they were fired up because they're hosting Georgia, and you're always going to get everybody's best game. And Brock Vandegrift had a solid game against his former team, and they looked really good, but the defense for Georgia is still the defense that we're used to seeing in terms of its dominance. And I think there are maybe some questions from Carson Beck. Just there were some throws that he didn't quite make, and I'm not saying that, you know, it's not just a one-off. But going down the stretch, when you look at Georgia's schedule against Alabama next week, Texas in a few weeks, they play Ole Miss, they play Tennessee. Carson Beck's going to have to make plays. He's only been behind going into last night 17 snaps in his career. He only has the one win, and that's the one that just came last night against Kentucky. So he's going to be tested a lot more later this season. I'll be interested to see how he does because he is up for potentially being the number one overall pick selected.
And, of course, look at Texas and what happened there. That was an interesting game to me. UTSA was a team that, you know, some people thought may make the playoffs as one of the group of five teams. But Quinn Ewers, and I know there's going to be a lot of talk, Quinn Ewers or Arch Manning. Quinn Ewers, let's remind people, he was 14 of 16 for 185 yards and two touchdowns before he was hurt. Enter Arch Manning, 9 of 12, 223 yards, four touchdowns, plus a 67-yard touchdown run. That's five touchdowns from Arch. Quinn Ewers was still good in this game. That's going to be interesting because a lot of times you don't want to rock the boat, but Arch Manning showed, man, this Texas team is loaded at the quarterback position.
Yeah, I think he entered and looked really good. I will say, and this will go into who I think should be starting going forward, UTSA got beat by 39 by Texas State, a really good Sun Belt team.
Yeah.
There is a close game against Kennesaw State, who are new to the FBS. UTSA are not a very good football team. So not to say the Arch stats, his stats were, you know, gassed a little bit, but I do think that playing a team like UTSA helped him out a little bit. He did look really good.
Ewers did too. You know what I'm saying? I mean, in a strained abdomen and stuff like this, but, you know, and Arch Manning has the pedigree and everything else going forward.
And to that point, Bink, I think they start Quinn Ewers the rest of the way. They ride this thing out. Texas is set at quarterback. There's no question marks. Like, Arch is going to play next year. He's going to start. Whether he goes to the draft or not, that's obviously his decision. But Texas, in terms of them being a powerhouse again in college football, when Quinn Ewers leaves, nothing is going to change because they've got Arch Manning waiting in the wings, and they're going to be just as good next year as they are this year. So it just, I think Sark has really got something going for him there. And props to Arch, too, for staying in a place that he likes. And, I mean, he's got enough NIL where it's going to take care of itself. But he's going to wait it out, and then he'll be ready to go. And they're going to be national title contenders just the same next year with him as a starting quarterback. He's going to look really good.
I think Kevin Payton and the way he came back to Tennessee as his uncle and stuff like that and bounced things off them. But it's going to be bad. The fact that Texas probably only going to have him 1 year as a starter next year, and that's it before he goes to the NFL. The other game I wanted to talk about nationally, Colorado. They're 2-1. You know, a lot of people are, you know, were trashing them last week because the way they lost to Nebraska. And I get that. I think they're too cocky, you know, and going forward. And there's a lot of things you do or Sanders does. You're like, yeah, you know, it's not a good look. But I'll say this about the team. People are still interested in it because the Nebraska-Colorado game is actually the second highest rated game last week. Now, they go in and they dominate Colorado State. I thought Colorado State would give them a much better game. But there is a difference with this Colorado team. They can play defense. They've given up just 6 points the last 2 weeks. They went seven quarters without allowing a touchdown. Because they went two last week, then five quarters without allowing a touchdown. And Colorado State got a garbage touchdown at the end. Robert Livingston is now their defensive coordinator. I wanted to ask you this, because he did coach the Bengals for a long time, secondary and a defensive backs coach for them. That has seemed to make the difference, because that's the one thing Colorado couldn't do last year is stop anybody, but they stopped Nebraska in the second half, and they really stopped Colorado State and Troy Horton, who was doing punt returns, which is really weird because he wasn't a factor in the receiving game. I thought he would be. Robert Livingston seems to have made the difference for that team. We know they got receivers. We know they got talent. But if they could play defense like this, they could be better than we think.
Yeah, that was always the big question, is can Colorado defensively stop anybody? And as you said, they did a really nice job in the second half of the Nebraska game. They shut out Colorado for the most part, didn't allow anything over the top, which they did multiple times last year. They seem to have turned the corner in that regard, and it's been impressive. I think for all the people who like to go after Deion and Shador and all that stuff, for the way that they act, whatever, but you can't help but say that this team is much better than they were last year, and that's where going into the season, they win 6 or 7 games. It's a really good season, for Deion this year. Given, you know, taking over the 1-11 program, you go 4-8. They're still going to talk because they believe that they're capable and they're really good, which is great. I mean, it's fine, good for them. I think they go 6-6 or 7-5, Bink. They are better, though, while watching. This is a different Colorado team. You are absolutely right.
Yeah, and Robert Livingston, I think, has made the difference on the defense. But, again,
that was always a question.
They have the best, you know, Travis Hunter, one of the best players in college football, on there. If they could just, you know, take some humble pie, you know, go around like that. But also breaking news, by the way, in the NFL, Evan Engram, it looks like he's out, according to Adam Schefter. He have 114 catches last year, a hamstring injury pregame and out today. So I don't know if you have that in your fantasy as far as Evan Engram today, but you may back out on that. All right, Drew, that's awesome. I love talking college football with you. Are you willing to be a Chiefs fan if they beat the Bengals today?
No, I'm always going to ride and die for my Bengals, man. Okay. I think the Bengals win 24-20, Bink. Come on now, Houdé, let's go.
Are you serious, Drew?
Yes, no.
Bink. Were you drunk last night or just sick?
I was sick. Okay. I was not drunk.
Are you drunk now?
No.
So you're being serious.
I will not be drinking anything.
Quentin, do you have anything to add to Drew?
I appreciate his honesty on the airwaves, you know? If you're going to be a fan of a team, stick with it. I know he gets a lot of crap from the text line and from the midday show. Mm-hmm. Good for you, Drew.
Drew, I love talking
college. I'm glad this week is done. I can't wait for the game to be over with, win or lose, because this week was a long week.
Yeah, I bet it was, and you'll probably have another long week in the postseason. Be fun. Mm-hmm. But, Drew, thanks for talking college football. Always enjoy it. It's a ton of fun. I love the college football season. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, Bing, it's always a blast. Thank you.
Thank you. There's Drew Nixon right there, 249 miles of college football, his podcast. It's really good stuff. I don't know if you had a chance to hear it but it's awesome. We'll look at the AFC West coming up next, plus our phone line 913-586-7965 if you'd like to add in more commentary on Hollywood Brown. Next.